So some of you know that when I come to church, I usually wear a tie that has some kind of significance to the morning. Some of you ask me, well, why did you wear that tie today? And I don't have a tie. And my shirt is untucked. It goes okay with that. What this really makes me think of is today we're going to talk about John 4. You have it in your bulletins. You need a bulletin. So is there anybody who doesn't have a bulletin? Holger, would you just pass these out if anybody needs one? Let me have one here. So for this summer, we're not doing traditional sermons, and we're doing a dialogue for our messages. And I'm exposing myself. So today I expose myself in even a new way, and that is that you get to see some of my artistic talent. I need some help here. Yeah, you gotta take it down. You gotta switch the hole. The hole got wrong. Okay, I need three. Here, hit it. There. There we go. Okay, good. Okay, I need three volunteers. I need a narrator. I need a woman at the well, and I need Jesus. So. Thank you, Aaron. Guys, where's the hand mic? Is it up here? Do you have it back there? Okay, so this is something my wife would do. I usually have everything planned out. So did somebody say they were at the woman at the well? Okay, come on up. Jesus, come up here. Okay, so I'm gonna let Aaron narrate over here, and you two, right here. You forgot your bulletins. Okay, just grab one right here. Okay, so I want us to read through verse 26. So Birgit and Tim, you guys just speak from there. So when Jesus speaks, yours is really easy because you just read the red.
Okay, I read the red.
You have to see the quotation marks where the woman's speaking. And so there's some sentences where Aaron as a narrator will speak up to what you say and then you'll say it. Okay?
Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria?"
"For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as his sons and his livestock."
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again."
Jesus said to her,
"Go, call your husband and come here."
The woman answered him,
"I have no husband."
And Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things."
Jesus said to her,
"I who speak to you am he."
Okay, let's give our actors and actress a hand. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. So, with a little bit of background, you remember we've been going through a process for 2 years. The process is from natural church development. We have a health team. That health team consists of Paul Lichty, Mary Kolb, Lucia Purcell, Junior Herlocker, and Janine. And in that, we've been bringing you through kind of a transforming process as we think about church and as we think about our health. And if you remember in November, every single one of those health team members, except for Paul, who wasn't part of it at that time, shared their story. Do you remember that? Well, they shared their story for a purpose. And the purpose was to help you understand that you have a story. You have a story. Now, we cannot talk to people about Jesus unless we recognize what that story is and are able to process it. And secondly, we have to be able to process what we do with Jesus and how we respond to the story, because then that becomes part of our story. So I'm going to do a very dangerous thing this morning and talk about your story. And I'm going to talk about my story. And I'm going to talk about salvation in that context. Now, real quickly, I grew up in a Lutheran church. I was confirmed as a Lutheran. Now, all of the people who I was confirmed with in our ninth grade confirmation, we believed that we became part of the church. And we knew that because we could finally have communion for the first time. And I didn't know what alcohol tasted like until that day. And it was kind of nasty.
Yeah, you never get the good
one. And everybody who was with me in that class felt, this is what we've been taught, that now we were part of the church. And that is a tradition. At right about that time, it just so happens that my father, who had processed through that tradition, had somebody challenge him that he had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said that what I went through, like my son Dale, didn't bring me to a place of personal faith. Now, he grew up in the same Lutheran church as my mother did. And my mother said, wait a minute, I've had personal faith my whole life. So when we went to a Baptist church, and anybody who's been to a Baptist church, they're very strong about the fact that you need to have a moment where you say this is your salvation time. Well, I could see it in the church board, because we met there with all these men. You know, we had to tell our salvation story. And my dad spoke first, and you could see they're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lutheran came to Christ, yeah. And then my mother shared her story, and you could say, like, oh, what questions are we going to ask her? Because she can't give us a date. And then there was me. And I got to tell my salvation experience, and I had a date. And I felt so good. And actually felt superior to my mother, who couldn't give a date. And I think I was probably encouraged in that a little bit. Just goes to show that we have to be careful about how we think about faith and salvation. So I'm going to help you today. I'm going to help you. And first, I'm going to help you with this ugly-looking drawing, because this is where we have to start. If you were to go from the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee, there were basically three routes that you would take. Now, this might remind you of a parable that Jesus told. Because probably if you were a Levite, you would make sure that you would not go through Samaria. So you would take a route something like this. You would leave Jerusalem, go through Jericho, and then you'd go on the other side of the Jordan. Now, if you look at this map, so this is Samaria, this is Judea. Oh man, I really have this off here. This is Samaria. And up here, this is Galilee. Now, all this territory over here is pagan. I'm just going to call it, it's pagan. This is the area where you got the man with the on the Sea of Galilee with the multitude of demons. So you wouldn't go through this land. So what you kind of do is you find a way to sneak over here and then go up. So you go in Samaria a little bit, but you pretty much miss all those Samaritans. Now, there is a shorter route to get to the Sea of Galilee. And actually, you just don't cross the Jordan River, and you just come right up here, and then you follow the same route. Now, when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, he was telling it on this path. So the people knew what he was talking about. I'm not going to go this way because it goes through Samaria. I'm going to go this way. Just the other side of the river. Now, this would be the normal path that you would take as a good Jew. But there is another route, and it adds about 10 to 15 miles to your journey, and that route goes through Sychar and then up through here, all the way up through Samaria. Now, I'm not sure that the disciples actually said Jesus, you know, thinking to themselves, why are we taking this route? I have a guess, because you'll see that coming to this story, that Jesus is basically being ejected from Jerusalem. They've rejected him. So I'm sure they probably didn't question the fact that we went this way. Don't run into any Jews this way. We have to go through Samaria anyway. Okay, we're going this way. And that begins the story. Unusual route. So then Jesus stops right here. Jacob's well. So if you can look at the narration that we just did, I'm going to tell a couple stories, and then we'll start looking at her story. I can only speak from my experience and the experience I have with other people, so I'm going to be as open to say, listen, my understanding of salvation is not perfect. I know biblical truth. I know truth from the Word of God regarding salvation. I believe all those things. I'm trying to process them through my story and help you with your story. First, my first encounter with God, and I didn't even know it was an encounter with God, was when I was probably about 6 years old. I've told this story many times. I'm 6 years old. We've been going to church my whole life, which means at the age of six, I was probably at about 300 services, probably more like 400, but I don't remember all the extra services we went to. So certainly 300 services. And we prayed every service. There was a prayer. Every service we sang liturgy, Lord have mercy on me. Every service we talked about God or Lord. So I leaned over, in those days you didn't have to wear seat belts, even as kids. So I remember leaning over, because we were quite free in the back bench seat, leaning over the bench seat and saying, Mom and Dad, who's God? How do you answer that question to a six-year-old? Well, I don't know how you would answer it. Even as me, knowing God, I can tell you right now that when my children are all 6 years old, I would struggle with it. Because what are you explaining to them? So, basically my parents said, well, he's someone we come to worship. And it's like, well, I've never seen him, right? But that was number one. Now, why do I talk about that? Because all of you have times when you know you were thinking about God. And the fact that you even remember it is something from the Spirit of God. And that is a God, so this is in your bulletin, that is a God reflection. Something that happens in life where God kind of marks it and then uses it. Now, I do have another story. Now, the thing about God reflections are that it is not focused at one point. I do have a date when I received Christ into my heart. I have a date. It just so happens I have a date. It was my experience. It's August 20th of 1972. In fact, I didn't even know the date until a couple weeks ago. I said, I can figure this out. I knew it was the last Sunday before I went to school in August, and I went back, and isn't that great that you can have a calendar that goes way, way back on your phone? I don't know how far back it goes, but it goes back to 1972, and so I figured it out. It doesn't do anything in heaven. It just so happens I have a date. This happens after my salvation experience, this story. So my parents decided to take a trip out west. Let's go see Yellowstone. And I was excited about it. My little brother, so I'm like 14. My little brothers are 4 and like 2.5. And then my brother that's right close to me, he's 2.5 years younger than I am. And so we head out west. There were a lot of experiences. I remember a lot of experiences, but this one I will tell you about. So probably about when my three brothers were born about that time. So I've got a middle brother and then a year later, twins, Pete and Tom. You know Pete. pretty much all my parents' attention went to them. That gave a lot of freedom to my brother Tim and I. So we did not go to the Grand Canyon, but we were in it. We went from Yellowstone, we went to a canyon, so it's way north of the kind of the Grand Canyon. And I'd never seen canyons like this. So we stopped. We said, we want to see this. Well, there is a rock. Some of you have heard this story. Bear with me. So there was a rock, huge, flat rock, really nice and flat. At probably about, I don't know, I'm going to say 20 degrees. You know, when you're a kid, I might even say 30 degrees. I don't know, but people were sitting on it. It was about 20 feet wide, probably about 8 feet deep. And you could see that the rock was like right at the ledge. So you know how parents are. They're like, Dale and Tim don't go by the ledge. And then they're holding the little kid's hands, right? So that means that we have a little bit of freedom. So I go sit on the rock, and I'm back to the top of the rock. But I really want to see down. I mean, I can see that cliff over there, but I can't see down. I want to see down. So, you know, I kind of look around and sneak down a little bit. I'm cross-legged. I'm sitting down on the rock. And then I look again. I get a little closer. And so I'm within probably about 3 feet of the edge. And I know I'm breaking the law. But I'm feeling perfectly safe. So what I wanted to do was really quickly just kind of get up on my feet. And, you know, you do like a crab crawl. And quick look, and then, you know, just sneak back. Well, as soon as I put my feet up, I began to slide. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, like you've been on a roof or something, and you just start sliding. It's like within fractions of a second, you have hours of time. I mean, so I remember to myself going, wait, put one foot down, stop. It didn't stop, putting another foot down, putting my hands out, and coming to the place where I'm going over the edge. Now, I don't know what the speed was. I don't know, but I do know this. I tried to stop myself. I could not stop. And I was like, okay. And instantaneously, it is like a hand came out and just stopped the moment. I had no friction stopping me, because I'd already tried putting my foot down, my other foot, and I was slide. I was stopped, and I looked, and I snuck back up to the top, and I got off the rock, and never spoke of it again in my family. Probably started telling that story maybe 25 years ago. Never in my family. Never in the presence of my mom and dad. That is my cliff experience. But guess what? That is a God reflection. I didn't even know what to do with that. I never heard about angels. I never heard about God being supernatural. I know that I was dead, and somehow something happened. It's a God reflection. Now, this is what God does. God gives you God reflections. Every person has God reflections. So let me step back, and then we're going to go to the woman at the well. This is really quite amazing. So I'm going to let you process this. Now, when God gives us situations, when we encounter Him, He also gives us opportunity to respond. One of those opportunities is baptism. Every person who wants to go through baptism, I meet with them. And I've had a full gamut of people who wanted to be baptized. This is what I always do. There are things that are important about baptism, like what it represents, so I talk about that. But they don't really know it, but I'm really looking for this stuff. When did you encounter God? Why? Because I could say, what date did you receive Christ? And some people would give me a date. But some people won't. Now, what I do know is that baptism is a step of responding to God's interaction with you. So that means there actually could be times when I'm baptizing somebody and they're actually coming to the place where they actually receive everything of the Spirit of God and God's salvation in that moment. Now, I will ask them, have you received Christ personally? Have you made an interaction with God? So they've already answered yes to that question, so I know they're at the point. But I know this, that they're responding to God. Responding to God simply is a public kind of declaration of your salvation experience. And I'm processing this, but something public has to happen to you. And I don't care if it's like everybody has to see it, but when you are talking to your aunt or uncle or mother or dad, when you start talking about God, there will be a change from these are the things that I know about God to I believe this. Now, there are people in the congregation right now. I'm talking to some of you, and you don't know how to talk about your salvation because you don't fit into the... And I'm not slamming Baptists. I was a Baptist for 25 years, so it is part of my experience. So at baptism, I walk people through your God reflections, all your God reflections. And then if I feel like that God reflection is they're ready and they understand everything about baptism, then I just go right there. But otherwise, I go, hey, let's walk through this, what you believe. So you're telling me you want to follow Christ in baptism. I just walk through it. Who is Jesus Christ? Do you believe he was the Son of God? Do you believe that he came and died on the cross for you? Do you believe that your sins are taken care of through him? And do you want to follow him? Obey him, follow him for the rest of your life. When we talk about baptism in the Mennonite church or in our church, it is a response of obedience to say, I want you to be Lord of my life, and I'm telling other people about it. Okay? So, we all have God reflections. Look at what God does with this woman. This is really simply amazing. Because when this woman who came to the well that morning, she didn't even think about the fact that she needed peace in her life. It was the furthest thing from her mind. She was just trying to live day to day. This is what Jesus does. He interacts with her on every point where she was disturbed and didn't have peace. Number one. What is the first thing that she brings up? What are you doing? You're a Jew. So what does that bring up? She's already created in her life a separation. Jews are there, we're here. Does that include God? Well, she didn't think it included God, but it included God. Your God is different than my God. What are you doing here? Number two. She's trying to interact, and Jesus starts the conversation, and he starts talking about, give me a drink. And who are you to tell me to bring? Do you, and then she begins talking about her ancestor. Sir, you have nothing to draw water. How is it you give me a drink? Jesus answered her. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. And so Jesus is turning this thing. He's saying, I have water to give you. And then she says, are you greater than our father Jacob? So what does she know? She knows that this is a place where her ancestor that she can point to, who was a Jew, made this well. It is part of her heritage. It's all she knows about religion. But she knows it exists. Are you greater than my ancestor? Every person has a story. Every person will talk about their ancestor or something that has happened in their past. that we can see a God reflection in. So she doesn't know that God's starting to bring these things together, but he is. Who I am, not a Jew. Where I am at this well, what I get water from. And then Jesus is making that connection. So she lives reverencing this ancestral well. She doesn't know why. Then she's living, needing to come to the well every single day. She has to come here every day. And Jesus is saying, man, the water I have to give you, it's eternal. You never have to have any other water again. Well, Jesus wants to make sure that she's in the right place to move forward. So then when she says, give me this living water, what does Jesus say? Okay, go get your husband and come back. So now Jesus is also interacting the fact that she is in a place of non-union, not just with God, but she's in a place of kind of screwed up union with this man. And this is part of her story. But Jesus doesn't pound her on it. He says, you're right. You've had five husbands. You've had five husbands. So all her baggage is all of a sudden exposed, and Jesus is offering living water. Now, if you're thinking about interacting with somebody, do you jump at their baggage? And you say, oh, I would never do that, right? I would never do that. So if they talked about the fact that they were divorced, you know, something that happened in the past, I would never condemn them for that, right? Okay? What about this? Well, I was just looking at my tarot cards this morning and I knew I was going to meet somebody. What do you do with that? If we all understand salvation as being God touching us at different times, then our conversations should be about places where God might have touched somebody. It's really simple. Okay, so I say that a salvation experience includes two things, God reflections and God responses. You have God reflections and you've God responses. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, you should not have the same story. You should not be telling the same story today that you did 10 years ago. What God has done for me and it's saving me in... tell my story that happened on August 20th of 1972 every time, I have totally missed what God's doing and totally missed what Jesus wants to do. Okay, so I've already spent way too long. Oh, man, I thought this was going to be short. I'm so sorry. So you have homework. I'm sorry you have to have homework. Wow. I need you to, under that God responses, right now, as you've been thinking about places in your life when you were young or in your journey where God has interacted with you and you knew that God was bringing you a place of asking a question or bringing you a place of thinking about him or somebody else interacted with your life. Those are God reflections. You need to write your God reflections down. This is part of your story. Because when you're talking to somebody else, you should understand Scripture and be ready to use Scripture, But most, you have to use you. So when they have some place where you know that maybe God interacted with it, tell your story about a place where God interacted with you. That's how you share your story. And it's easy. Well, it's simple for me to say. How about that? But you need to have it written down. You need to think about it. And when you're telling your story, you should only tell your story as far as someone's willing to respond. And when someone's not willing to respond any further, then you stop. And I don't know where that stop goes, but remember them in prayer. If God is continually interceding, and I copied this out of, we had one line in the Good Good Father which said something to the effect of him taking care of every need. Remember that? God is, but the Holy Spirit is interceding for every single thing that has ever happened with you, past, present, future. And every person that you meet. So just look where those places are, and you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit to take it from there. It's Him that's going to save somebody or bring them into a relationship with Jesus, not us. Okay, I apologize for the time. I really did take way too much time, and we didn't do a whole lot of interaction. Think about that. What are my God reflections, and what are my God responses? And that makes up your story. And that's what you need to share. Very simple and very practical. Bill.